Welcome to the New Generation Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, we hope today's message fills you with hope and inspiration. NGC is a place where people can come together to grow in their faith, learn from one another, and support each other through life's challenges by living out the Word of God. We believe in sharing the love of Jesus in everything we do, and we're excited to bring that love to you through our podcast. Let's dive into today's message. We hope you enjoy.
And we'll take off from here. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. If you have it, just say amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. The Bible reads, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Praise God. Listen, for a few minutes this morning, and we'll continue our reading here shortly in our time together. But I want to know this morning if you are a holdout or a sellout for Christ. Don't hold out. Live sold out. If you believe it, give your neighbor a fist pound and tell him I'm sold out this morning. Amen. As you take your seat this morning. Praise God. Sold out. This morning in Luke chapter 9, we find our Lord. He's beginning to make the journey to Jerusalem, where he will lay it all down. Now, we've all heard that term before, sell out, sold out. And many of us who appreciate merchandise, we've gone into places and you would ask for a particular item and they would look at you sometimes and they would say, you know what? We're all sold out of that item. For some of you, you might have had your mind set, and this actually happened to us a few weeks ago. We had our mind set on a particular restaurant, and you can only get this particular item at this particular restaurant. Don't mean to bring it back up to cause some pain, but we made an order and called it in, and we were so excited and went in and retrieved that order. And always check the order before you leave, folks. Wherever you go, always check your order before you leave. So we looked inside of that order, and the very item that we were looking to enjoy was not in the bag. So I went back inside to inquire, hey, we were looking for this particular item. We didn't see it in our bag. And that man looked at us and he looked at us with those eyes and he says, you know what, sir, I'm sorry, but we're all sold out. What do you do when things are sold out? How do you behave when things are sold out? Well, I'm going to help you a little bit with that today. But one important point I want to mention to you is there's someone who has sold out for me and you. And he has laid it all on the line. He has done everything that needs to be done in his first advent. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus has sold out for us. And we learned this today in the book of Luke chapter 9, exactly what it means to be sold out for Jesus. Beginning in this passage of scripture, we find that a few points that I'm going to leave with you here today to encourage you, because I want you to be sold out. No longer is it time to hold out. It's time to sell out. We're in these last days, and Jesus is not looking for saints who want to be comfortable. He's looking for saints who are willing to go through whatever they got to go through to experience more of him, who recognize that, man, as greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Whatever it is, God, that is on your agenda for me, I receive it and I go through it because I'm all sold out for you. Do I have a witness in this place even today about being sold out for Jesus? A few things I want to bring to your memory today as you take notes, if you will. The first point I want to mention to you today is Jesus was determined. He was determined to finish the race and to finish the work, even to the cross. Let me say that again. Somebody say determined. He was determined to finish the race and to finish the work, even to the cross. And we see this beginning in verse 51 of our passage today. It says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined. Somebody say determined. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem because what he recognized is that that was the very place that he was going to have to go through what he had to go through. But there was the promise of his ascension, meaning that he was not going to remain in the condition of what he was going to experience. And see, this is what we can borrow from Jesus. This is what we can learn from the blueprint of Jesus's life, is that there's some things in life that you're going to have to go through. And if you focus only on the part that you're going to have to go through, you will never see what's on the other side of through. Do I got anybody that's living on the other side of through? Whatever I had to go through, I'm on the other side of it and I'm still going because Jesus had his hand on me the whole time. But the Bible says here that Jesus was determined. You'll never find anyone else more determined than Jesus as it relates to you. He was determined to go for you through the cross. Now, this word determined, let me give you a definition of it because it's important for us to understand what it means. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. It means to make stable or to place firmly, to set fast or to fix, to strengthen. It means to make firm. Somebody say make firm. It means to make firm. It means to be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, forever abounding. Jesus was determined to go to the cross. So that begs the question, why did Jesus come to earth and why was he so resolute in his decision to die for our sins? No one else will do for you what Jesus has done for you. I don't care how much you love them, how much money you give them, what you tell, how much you appease them. Nobody in this earth will ever be able to do what Jesus has already done. And nothing stopped Jesus. This is what we can learn, is when we're sold out to Jesus, there should be nobody or nothing in the way to keep me from getting closer to him. Now, notice he was determined. Somebody say determined. He was determined. But why did he come to the earth? Just put this in your margin, because if you want the summation of why Jesus came to the earth, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it might be not be on your screen, but put it in your margin, because this is what Paul was instructing his son in the faith. He says, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, that's Jesus, was vindicated in the spirit, that's Jesus, seen by angels, that's Jesus, proclaimed among the nations, and watch this, believed on in the world and taken up to glory. All right. So Jesus, just as you and I need to understand, is when we're born into this world, God has given us a mission to carry out. Everybody in this church, under the sound of my voice, you might not get a call from the White House, but you will get a call from God's house. And God, remember, there are the three callings of God. There's the holy calling of God. That's salvation. God is calling you to salvation. He says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's calling for you right now if you don't know him. And then you got not only the holy calling, but you got the heavenly calling. Sanctification, where he not only calls you, but now he sets you apart. The Ephesian writer says that we are now his workmanship. You are the masterpiece of God. You are created to do good works. Somebody say good works. Amen. How many ever done bad works in this place? Somebody say, Pastor, why you got your hand up? Because I used to do some bad works. Okay. Amen. Somebody ain't put their hand up like, I ain't never done anything wrong. Look at these folks putting their hand up. I can't believe. No, man, that's the beauty of God, is when he captures you. When you receive that holy calling, you're saved, sanctified, and set apart and ready to do the work that he's called you to do. Not only is it the holy calling and the heavenly calling, but then it's the high calling of God. And the high calling is what we talked about in our leaders meeting this morning, man. That's the highest call that God is calling us to, is sonship. It's sonship. It's maturity in the things of God. God wants you to be mature as it relates to his word. He wants you to grow, but not only grow, he wants you to go. Somebody say go. Amen. He wants you to grow, and then he wants you to go. He wants you to grow, and then he wants you to go. Y'all understand this for those of us who have children. Somebody got it. I want them to grow. What you still doing here? You're too grown. You got to get out of here. All right. And so it is in the kingdom of God. The Lord wants us to grow, but then he wants us to go. He doesn't want us to be tossed around to and fro by every wind of doctrine. He doesn't want us to be children in the kingdom. He wants us to have sonship. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. Somebody say sonship. Sonship. Amen. God wants you mature in the things concerning him. So you might not get a call from the White House, and we don't need a call from the White House. We need a call from God's house. The holy calling, the heavenly calling, and then the high calling of God. But we see that Jesus, he was determined. How determined was Jesus to go for you and for me? He was so determined. Put this in your margin. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 2. And notice what it says, because Jesus was sold out, y'all. I don't know about you, but Jesus was sold out. And I'm so glad he was sold out. The Bible tells us, it says, look, fixing our eyes on Jesus. On who?
Jesus.
On who?
Jesus.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Watch this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's good news, people. Jesus, watch this. He didn't find the cross itself enjoyable. And many of us don't. When we have a situation in life that we have to go through, we don't find it enjoyable. Majority of the people don't raise their hand and say, God, I need a trial today. God, take me through something today. Nobody does that. But what Jesus teaches us is he had the ability to transcend the horror of the cross and find joy behind it. When you think about Jesus, think about what he went through for me and you. He said, nothing's going to get in the way of me going to where I got to go. Nothing's going to get in the way. I'm going to Jerusalem. I know people are going to spit on me, talk about me, pull the hair out of my beard, put crown of thorns on my head. I know they're going to put nails in my hand, but nothing is going to get in the way of the people that I love. He was resolute. His mind was affixed on doing the things that he knew he had to do in his mission. I love how Isaiah put this. Y'all walk with me a little bit. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, because Isaiah was the eagle-eyed prophet. And Isaiah, 700 years before Christ was born, if you will, into the earth, he pointed out some things that would relate to even what we're talking about today. So in the book of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, you'll find this word. It says, For the Lord God helps me, prophetically speaking of Jesus. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. So Jesus knew that I'm so focused that nothing's going to shame me from accomplishing what I was sent here to accomplish. That word that his face was like a flint. A flint is a type of rock that is very hard and almost indestructible. All right. So his face was like a flint. In other words, it's not that the outer appearance of his face made him look so hard. It was just that he was so focused on the mission. You ever came across anybody? They were focused and they were working and they had a look on their face that looked rude. And you might have taken it the wrong way. Man, why they look at me like that? They focused. They're resolute. And you can't take it personal because they understand their focus and their purpose. And they say, and then what they're saying is that, man, I'm sold out. Ain't nothing getting in the way of me getting to where I got to get. All right. So don't take it personal, people. If somebody not looking at you and smiling at you, they focused on what they called to do. All right. Somebody say, I need to repent now because I got on somebody the other day. All right. Somebody say sold out. He had his face. It was set like a flint. Another scripture that reminds us of Jesus's purpose for coming into the earth. And I love this. And we talk about this scripture a lot. But in the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, we're going to look at 18 and 19 quickly, because I need you to all of us to gain a greater appreciation for why Jesus came and what he went through for me and for you. He sold out. The Bible says that he humbled himself, became a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is amazing that he would even do this for us. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, he was led, remember previously, he was led to the mountain to be tempted of the devil, and he defeated the devil simply by using the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written, and the Bible says that that the enemy left him for a season and angels came and ministered unto him. He then comes down off of the mountain and he goes into the synagogue and he picks up the book and he turns to this particular passage of scripture that no one ever read in the synagogue. He turns to Isaiah chapter 61 in our Bible, verses 1. Not two, because he stopped there, because that would be fulfilled later. But notice what he says in, as it's recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what he says. He says, you know what? I'm making a declaration here that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why is he upon you? Because, watch this, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, notice this. That's a fully loaded statement, and we could preach that message just on that all alone. But Jesus was the one who was anointed to come and to preach the gospel to the poor. All right. Now, why did the poor need to be taught the gospel? Because they were poor in spirit. They needed to be taught. They were poor. See, what sin does is sin robs you of God's best. Sin, watch this, will keep you poor. Get your mind out of finances right now. All right? Somebody say, I'm rich. Well, you rich and poor. Okay. All right? Because you can be poor spiritually, and you can have all the money in the world, but on your way to hell. But Jesus came, and he says, I have come to preach the gospel, good news to the poor. Anybody ever received some good news before? Man, we love good news. We love good news. I needed that good news, right? I needed that good news. But he came to preach because the Lord had anointed him. He sent me, watch this, to proclaim release to the captives. Sin will cause you to be in prison. Somebody say, I'm not in prison. I'm not behind bars. Yes, you are. You just don't know it. Right? Sin will cause you to be locked even in your own mind. And Jesus has come. He says, you know what? I come, anybody who's captivated by sin, the whole purpose of me coming is to set them free, to proclaim release to the captives. Watch this. And recovery of sight to the blind. I know what you're thinking, so you got to think spiritually here. I got 20/20 vision. That's in the natural. What you got in the spirit? What you got in the spirit? How are you seeing things in the spirit? Blind people can see better than people that can see. Let me keep it moving on that. But he says, I'm recovering sight because the God of this world, lowercase g, he has come to blind the minds of those. That's the goal of the enemy. He wants to keep us ignorant and to blind our minds, to blind our eyes so that we can't see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, to set free those who are oppressed. One goal of the enemy is to keep you oppressed, to keep you thinking you can't do anymore. To keep your eyes focused on other people and not the assignment that he's given you. You become oppressed, man. People will oppress you, man. Oppress, depress. You got to be careful with people. But Jesus has come for what purpose? He's come to free us from all that. To free the oppressed. And I love this, verse 19, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That's a reference to what the Bible calls in the book of Leviticus, Jubilee. Jubilee. The 49th year before the calendar flipped to the 50th, God would cause the nation of Israel for everything to be restored. So if they were, watch this, something to make you holler here. If you had any debts, your debts were forgiven and canceled. If you owned any land, that land was returned back to you. All right. Now, we don't have necessarily a promised land, but we got a promised man. And because of the promised man, we got Jubilee. We ain't got to wait 49 years. No, this is the day the Lord has made. God is interested in restoring things. Somebody say today. You begin the journey today when you make the decision out of your own heart that I got a flint face and I'm focused on the assignment that God has called me to go to. Do I got a witness in this place here today? Amen. We got the promised man. His name is Jesus. So that's why he came. Jesus didn't hold out on us people. He didn't give partial love. He didn't give partial obedience. He didn't give a partial sacrifice. He gave everything. Somebody say everything. He gave everything. Jesus, watch this. He gave us his best. Are you giving him your best? Is the question. He gave his life for us. Are you a holdout? Or are you sold out? Verse 54, because now Jesus is, he's traveling on his way to Jerusalem. But what he does is he sends some messengers ahead of him. And verse 54 of Luke chapter 9, it says, when his disciples, watch this now, James and John saw this, what did they see? They saw people not receiving Jesus. Okay, because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Let me explain this before I read this. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and Jews and Samaritans, y'all, they had some prejudices against one another, against each other. And they didn't like each other. It was something that formed way back in the as they were in captivity, and there was a blending of races, and they grew up in a culture and society hating another people, not really even knowing why they're hating them. So they hated them. And Jesus was, in spite of that, he wanted to go through Samaria, but they denounced Jesus. They say he's on his way where? To Jerusalem? Is he a Jew? Well, we ain't got nothing to do with him. You remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. And Jesus told his disciples, I love this, he says, I got to go through Samaria. And they looked at him and said, well, you got to go where? We don't go through Samaria. We don't mess with those folks. They don't eat what we eat. They don't dress like we dress. And they don't talk like we talk. He said, no, I got to go through Samaria. And he sent them disciples away. And I love that principle in the lesson, because oftentimes when God, watch this, when you got a flint face and God has given you assignment, everybody is not going to be in agreement with what God has told you to do. And you got to do what Jesus did. He said, y'all go get something to eat. All y'all. No, I don't need no help. Just all y'all go and get something to eat. Y'all ever had to do that to somebody? You don't understand what I'm doing here. And Jesus had an encounter with that lady. And man, I'm not preaching that message today, but it was a beautiful message. He ministers to this lady who's a Samaritan woman. She receives Jesus. Her eyes are open that it's bigger than Samaritan and Jewish relationship. It's all about Jesus. And she goes back to her community, a woman who's ostracized, who only came out during the heat of the day because nobody liked her. Everybody wrote her off. But she went from a holdout to a sellout. And she was sold out. What was the evidence of her being sold out? She went back to the community and she said, come meet a man. I know we got the promised land, but now I got to tell you about the promised man, because I met a man who then told me everything about myself. And some of them men, you mean everything? Yeah, everything. And that whole community invited Jesus in and they were radically saved. That's sellout. Somebody say sellout. That's sellout. But watch this now, because that was Jesus's mission for coming. He was redeeming that which was lost. He said, it's not the well who need a doctor, it's the sick. But watch these who are walking closely with him. Watch their attitude as it relates to other people. Find yourself in this now. Don't read it and say, oh, look at them. No, look at you. Verse 54 says, when his disciples, James and John, saw, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Wait a minute, y'all. So because they're not receiving the message of Jesus Christ, you're going automatically. Okay, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from him? They ain't got no power at all, y'all. You back up a few verses, they couldn't even cast out a demon that was dealing in this man. And now they're trying to call down fire from heaven. And notice Jesus' response. I love how he responded to this. Notice what he says here. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to what? To save them. And they went on to another village. Now, we know, for example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. But 17, John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How's the world going to be saved? Through programs. Through the government. It's going to be saved through him. He said, look, y'all, we're not calling down fire from heaven. It's not. I come to redeem the people. See, we tend to, sometimes we can be holy rollers and we forget that vengeance belongs to the Lord. Somebody says, what is vengeance? I'm glad you asked. Let me help somebody out with this. Vengeance, watch this. The definition of vengeance, here's a definition if you're taking notes. It's punishment inflicted for a wrong done to you. Punishment for somebody did something to you that was wrong, and now you want to inflict the same or greater punishment back to them. Uh-huh. Go to Romans chapter 12 quickly. Romans 12. Let me help you out with this. Holy Spirit is making a pivot here because somebody needs to understand. Because some of us, we have the sons of thunder attitude. These boys were called the sons of thunder because God, burn them up. They not listening to you? Just burn them up, and not realizing that we was in a position where we could have been burned up. But God. Watch this now. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, notice what it says. It says, never. Somebody say never. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now here's verse 19. Never take your own revenge. Somebody say never. Never take your own revenge. And then he says, beloved. He's talking to believers. He says, you know what? I know people that are in the world, they're going to take revenge. But if you're the beloved, if you're in the kingdom of God, you don't take your own revenge. But watch this. But leave room for the wrath of God. Now, who can handle it better, you or God? Let them have it then. He goes on to say, he says, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, Lord, what about, I know I got to get them right now, Lord. They about to do something else. I got to get them right now. Can't you see what they doing? He says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do y'all see that? Now, he said, look, feed them. Don't give them a poison sandwich now. Give them something to drink. Don't make them a drink that's going to hurt them. But in so doing, Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, to love your enemies. Amen. And this is the attitude we can have only if we're filled with the Spirit of God. See, this is the type of attitude that you got to adopt when your mind is focused on what God has called you to do, because folks will try to get you to abort the mission that God has called you to walk on. You got to be resolute, just as Jesus was. He was determined. Somebody say determined. The second thing I need you to do is this. The second point is sold out for Jesus means complete, wholehearted surrender. Somebody say wholehearted. Complete, wholehearted surrender. See, one of the challenges here were riches. And it's not that riches are a bad thing, but the misappropriation of riches is always going to get in the way of God's plan. See, they can misappropriated riches, they can cause me and you to hold out and not live sold out. So now Jesus begins to give us the examples of, if you will, the stories of these men who are coming. And I need you to identify. You're either one of these three persons, if you have been one time in your life. But he begins to paint this out a little further in terms of what it means to be sold out. In verse 57, the Bible says, and they were going along the road. Remember, they're now leaving Samaria. There were Samaritans that reject them. They're walking. And someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. That sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going with you, Jesus. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was saying, okay, all right, you want to go with me wherever I go? All right. There ain't no benefits package here now. All right. I don't have a home to lay my head. You sure you want to go with me on this journey? You sure you want to be a disciple and walk with me through the challenges of this life? I don't. Foxes have holes. And you look up at Herod's place, a fox, and he had this big old palace. He said, if you want to be comfortable, maybe you need to go over there with Herod. He said, the birds of the air, even they have nests that they can go in. But the Son of Man, I ain't got nowhere to lay my head. Are we with Jesus only when times are well? Are we with them regardless of what's going on? Come hell or high water, are you still with Jesus? Because you recognize that it's bigger than a house and a home. And Lord, if everything's taken from me, Lord, I'm still going to go with you. It sounds good. Lord, I'm going to go with you wherever you go until the test comes. How do you react when the test comes? See, it's easy, man, to have a plan that you have all sketched out, man. You got it color-coded. You got it highlighted. Hey, this is how this thing going to go. It's going to go just like this. And then this four-letter word comes in, L-I-F-E. Life began to happen. And all that you had planned in your mind was what you thought needed to happen. But God was going to work even behind the scenes before you knew it. He wanted you to adopt the attitude to look beyond where you're going and see where I'm taking you. So, yeah, though I go through, we got to go through the valley, man. We don't stay, I'm so sad. No, get through that valley, man. Keep walking. Keep walking through the valley. Somebody say, keep walking. You got to keep walking through the valley because your plans will change, people. They will change. Have they changed? Change is inevitable. We learned that a year or two ago. Amen. But it's inevitable that things will change. But watch this now. God's plan happens when you choose to let go of your plan. You hanging on so tight to your plan that God can't even manifest what he wants to do in your life because you're holding on too tightly to your plan. Jeremiah 29:11, very, very quoted scripture. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The Lord says, I got plans for you. Israel getting ready to go into captivity. And somebody said, well, Lord, is your plan for us to go through that? He said, yeah, it is. He said, you going through that. I know prophets are coming in and telling you, you ain't got to go through it. Nope, you going through that. Because I've seen the other side of what you're going through. And what the enemy hasn't seen is the development is going to happen in your season of going through what you got to go through. And you're going to come out as pure gold. Anybody better as a result of what you come through? Somebody going through it right now. I'm better, God. I'm getting better each day as a result of what I'm going through. So this first man, he says, Lord, foxes have holes. Okay, let me think about that then. Number three is, watch this, sold out for Jesus. It means making him a priority in life, a priority in life. Man, I love the teaching we got last week from Minister Hicks as she taught us that anytime you leave your first love, nothing else matters. You can be doing everything right, everything, quote unquote, perfect. But when you have left your first love, it cancels everything else out. So it's got to be a priority. Somebody say a priority. Now, the first one dealt with finances. This deals with relationships because relationships, watch this. They can cause you to be a holdout and not sell out. Even relationships. Notice in verse 59 what it says. It says, and he said to another, this is Jesus speaking, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Wait a minute, Jesus. This man wants to go and bury his father. Are you telling him that he can't go bury his father? You're telling him to follow me? And what Jesus is doing, he's saying, look, you got to get your priorities right if you're going to follow me. When you do the history and the study on this, wasn't nothing wrong with that man, that boy daddy. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. He trying to hang out long enough because he understood that once his daddy died, he was going to get paid. And he want nobody else to get it. The Bible is applicable to our everyday life, y'all. This young boy, he wanted to hang on to his father, with no funeral, with none of that going on. Jesus says, look, I got to be first of all. I got to be first in all. I got to be first through all, or I can't be first at all. He's got to be first, y'all. Somebody say first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So you got to be careful, even in your relationships. You got to have God as the center and circumference. He's got to be the apple of your eye. He's got to be in first place, not a place. He's got to be above anybody in your family. Somebody say, okay, Pastor, I need some scripture on that. Okay, I'll give you some scripture on that. Just put this in your margin. In Luke 14, 26, we've heard this before, but Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wait a minute, Jesus. This is too much. I can't bury my daddy. I gotta hate my mother, father, sister, brother, and even my own life. He says nothing and nobody can replace the value that I've given you, because I paid the price so that you can have the value that you have. Even though they gave birth to you, they can't give you the value that Christ has given you. And he says, if you're going to put them before me, then I don't have the place in your life. Oh, man, I'm telling you, people, God, watch this. And see, when you get the order right, when you understand that the head of every man is God, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is our Father God. There's an order to this thing, and when we get the order right, then God begins to cause things to flow and function in the way that it does. Your job should not have precedence over your relationship with Jesus. Your job is not a source. Jesus is the source. And when you put him first, he'll make sure everything, all your needs are taken care of. You got to get the order right. Man, it ain't working. The reason it's not working, because you out of order. You're putting quarters in the machine, expecting something to come out, and nothing will come out because it's out of order. Why are they getting what? I ain't getting nothing. You ain't getting nothing because you're out of order, brother. You're out of order, sister. You got to get, somebody say, get in order. Amen. You better not put your parents above God. Love them and respect them, honor them as the Bible tells us, but it's got to be God first. You married now, and your spouse has a place, but not the place. And that might be some of the problem right there. We put so much stock in our spouse, and when they fail, oh, Lord, it's going. Nope, you got them in the wrong place. Somebody say, Jesus. Jesus, find yourself in this now. If anyone comes and does not hate, he said, and watch this now. You mean I gotta hate him? I gotta look at him and just, no, he ain't talking about that kind of hate. Y'all don't go and do that now. He's talking about position. Compared to the Lord, nope, you got first place. Lord, you got first place. And I'm telling you, man, on your job, in your family, when you get God in the right place, just stand back and watch him do what he said he was gonna do in his word. He's gonna do it, but you gotta get him in the right place. Somebody say right place. But you're valuable to Jesus. He died so that we could see the importance of having him as first place and not second place. Man, how valuable are you? Matthew chapter 13, watch this. Matthew 13, verse 44. Watch what it says, because Jesus gives us the parable of the kingdom of heaven. And he says this, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. Watch this. And from joy over it, goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Watch this. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not valuable. You need to, no, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. If anybody was told growing up that you were not valuable, today I want you to know that you are valuable in the eyes of God. Anybody telling you right now that you are worthless, you're not valuable? Nope, in the name of Jesus, I am valuable. Why? Because he found us in the field. And he says, man, this is so, I'm gonna go sell everything. I'm gonna give it all. I'm gonna sell out so that I can purchase what I found. See, this is the beauty, man. We were lost and he found us. gave everything so that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. He goes on in verse 45. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, are you selling all that you have, people? Are you going hard for Jesus? Are you leaving it all on the table? Are we living a cute Christian life so that people know that we're Christian and we're saved and we're highly favored? But are you living a life where people can see it even through your struggle? That regardless of what I'm going through, my mind is fixed. My heart is made up. I'm going with Jesus. Regardless of who it separates me from or who it divides me with. I'm on assignment. Get out the way right now because I'm focused on what he's called me to do. You need to do it. No, don't tell me how I need to do it. I'm doing it the way God has called me to do it. Don't come in here trying to reverb what God has given me to do. People trip you out, man. They see you and your gift and you walk. And I'm going to come along. No, I don't need no help. I'm good. They gonna come on. What you need to know, I need to listen to the Lord. That's right. Anybody ever listen to some folks and they got you in some mess because you listen to them and not to your God? You don't need to go to church today. You just need to stay home and get you some rest. And one Sunday turned into the, you just need to stay home and get you some rest. And you need to stay home and get you some rest. And you need to, y'all get it. And that's the worst thing you can do when you're going through. We see, and it happened. It's happened over the course of this ministry, man. You'll see people, unfortunately, you hadn't seen in a long time, and you hadn't been able to get in touch with them, and they don't answer your phone call, and you see them, and he's like, hey, where you been? We miss you. Well, you know, I'm just going through. Well, you don't need to be going through by yourself. That's going to make it worse. Anybody grateful for the body of Christ in this place? The last thing I'm going to give you is this. Number four, because I'm talking about being sold out for Jesus. Number four is sold out for Jesus means avoiding procrastination. Can y'all be honest with me? Do I got any procrastinators in this house? All right. Is God still working on some of you? Right. All right. Procrastination is doing what you should have done today, but you're going to decide to do it tomorrow. I'm just going to put it off. Somebody say procrastinate. Procrastinate. But when you're sold out, when you're sold out, man, it's not you avoid procrastination. And he brings us to this person because procrastination, it can cause you to hold out. Oh, I'm not going to do it right now. I ain't got enough. I need to sit with this. No, God says, I need you to move. I need you to go. Let's go. Let's go. I need you to move. I got something behind where you're going, but you got to take the first step. Well, God, I'm waiting. No, God says, I'm waiting on you. Somebody say, move. You got to move. You got to stop procrastinating. You got to exercise the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you for his glory. Verse 61, and we're going to wrap this up. He says, another also said, watch what they're saying. All of them says, I will follow you. I will follow you, Lord. But first, there it is. Permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one. After putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this person, they wanted to procrastinate. See, when we're reading the Bible, y'all got to understand that we're reading, it was a different time frame back then. And when we're reading this, I know a lot of us are like, man, what's wrong with somebody going to say goodbye to their family? Well, in those days, when you said goodbye to your family, that means that your family threw you a party. Your parents threw you a party. Your aunties threw you a party. Your cousins threw you a party. And that party could go on for a long time. A long time. So what this particular person is saying here is that, first, let me go celebrate and have a party. Let me just get one more drink, God, before I go follow you, Lord. They got. I need one more happy hour. They got a spread. They got 50% off, Lord. I just need to do it one more time. Lord, I need to go to the bar just one more time. I'm gonna find yourself in that now. All right. I need to break down the door just one more time, Lord, and see what you got to be careful about. We don't know if that's the last time. We gotta be serious about this stuff, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow, but we don't know tomorrow holds. When we stand before the Lord, we want him to say, you know what? Well done. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful. You told them that you were, nope, I got a flint face and I'm focused on the things that God's called me to do. I'm focused on him. But notice what it says here. It says that I need to go say goodbye first. And I know it's so hard to say goodbye. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. But you know what? It ain't so hard when I got the one who has got my life in his hands asking me to let go of yesterday and keep moving forward in the things that he called us to. Notice what he says, man. And I love this passage of scripture. He says, you know what? Any person, if you put your hand to the plow and you got to look back, he said, you're not fit for the kingdom. He said, you know what? If you're going with me, you ain't got to look back. You ain't got to look back. You might glance in that rear view to remember where I brought you from, but you ain't got to turn around. Remember Lot's wife. She turned around that one last time. And that was it. But Jesus is saying to us, people of God, and what I want you to get today, what I want you to understand more than anything is he's calling and he's urging us to move forward. You got to move forward. God's got an I'm telling you, man, the church is a sleeping giant. And when you wake up and begin to get connected to the body, watch God do what he said he's going to do in his word. Jesus is saying right now, as I close, he says, find the mark. Right now, everybody in this place, the mark that you think is the mark is not the mark. The mark is to become a millionaire. That's a good mark, but it's not the mark. Watch this. The mark is even to ask forgiveness for those that I wronged. That's a mark, but it's not the mark. Remember what Jesus said? He says, look, before you even offer anything to me, go and reconcile with that person first and then come back to me and offer it. All right. He's the mark. He says, I want you to find the mark. The mark is Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And when watch this. When you find the mark, all your dreams, your destiny, everything that God has encompassed and placed inside of you is found in the mark. It's not found in any outside source. It's found in the mark. Now, the Lord will send outside sources to help you, but you got to keep your mind stayed on him even as you're going through. He says, find the mark. Put your plow in the ground. We took a ride yesterday. Went over the bay, man, and I like scenery. And we're riding, and I'm seeing crops as far as the eye can see. And all I could think about was somebody had to have a plow. And somebody had to stay on course to dig, recognizing that the digging, although it was tough and hard, although it was laborious and tiring, although it was times you wanted to give up, although it was times you wanted to throw in the towel, although there's people coming alongside you, ain't you tired? You got to come. Nope, I got to keep my hand to the plow. I got to keep moving forward, because what I see and what the Lord has shown me is seed that's going to be planted in the very trench that I'm digging as I'm focused on him. But not only that, there's a harvest. There's a harvest coming far greater than I could ever imagine. And it is happening because I was obedient to his word. Are you sold out today, people of God? Don't be a holdout. No more holding out. It's time to sell out. It's time to sell out. It's time to give him everything. It's time to make the sacrifice. It's time to lay it all down for him. Half-hearted Christianity is not going to do it. I got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. God says, I can't bless that. But one thing I will tell you, if you give me your whole heart, I will show you great and mighty exploits that nobody can ever explain. I will do the exceedingly and abundantly in your life, more than you could ever ask or think. Lord, why are you doing that? So that I can get glory from it. So that I can get glory from it. So don't hold out. It's time to sell out. Pray. Get in your word. You should know we can't depend on others. No, you get in your word. And that way, when people come to you with some crazy stuff, you can say, nope, according to my Bible, Jesus, John 14:6, he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. You can tell them yourself. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today, Lord. And God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for selling out for us. Oh, the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us.
Thank you for joining us today here on the New Generation Church Podcast. If you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.newgc.org/following-jesus. Be sure to watch on YouTube or subscribe to listen on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. For additional information on New Generation Church, please visit our website at www.newgc.org. If you would like to give to this ministry, please text the word GIVE to 251-278-2225, or you can mail your gift to 1350 Cody Road, North Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good is our prayer.